Eddie Mair on LBC.
Downing Street Live at 5. Now, Simon Marks's American Week.
Eddie, it's been another dizzying American week for those of us trying to track where this country really stands with regards to COVID-19 and the nation's purported recovery from it. Remember last week, President Biden told Congress and the world that America is back, on the move, turning peril into possibility, crisis into opportunity, setback into strength. America, he said, was ready for takeoff, conjuring up images of a jet that had already taxied to the runway and would within minutes be soaring into the sky. Well, this morning came some evidence that perhaps the plane is still at the departure gate, the passengers only just settling into their seats.
Wow, it just came across. Give me a second here.
CNBC this morning, where the anchor couldn't quite believe the jobs numbers that had just been published.
Sorry about that. It came across very quickly here. It looks like 266,000. It looks like it was a big disappointment at 266, but maybe I have that wrong. Let me double-check the Bureau website here. 1 second. Yes, 266 is correct.
266,000 new jobs created in the month of April. The White House and the nation's economists had expected more than a million. They talked themselves into believing that the country was going to break all records with the pace of its economic rebound. And so on CNN, in light of this morning's crushing news, recalibration was underway.
We'll watch to see how the markets respond today. But again, this is not what economists have been expecting. We are still at a big hole for the jobs market, gaining some of these jobs back, but not as briskly as many economists had expected.
No, 266,000 in a month, that's not the pace that they want to see to get us to the place, you know, where we meet the full recovery later this year or next year. At all.
It isn't just job creation that's lagging in America and creating fresh challenges for President Biden. This was the week when he admitted that demand for COVID-19 vaccines is flagging. Herd immunity here may remain a very elusive goal. On Wednesday, he set a new target. By July the 4th, Independence Day, he wants more than 70% of Americans to have received at least their first jab. Today, that number stands at 45%. It will be given fresh impetus if, as expected, the Pfizer vaccine is soon approved for use by the nation's 12 to 15-year-olds. But the president acknowledged the scale of vaccine skepticism among adult Americans who so far are spurning the jab.
There are a lot of younger people, especially those in their 20s and 30s, who believe they don't need it. Well, I want to be absolutely clear. You do need to get vaccinated. Getting vaccinated not only protects you, it also reduces the risk that you give the virus to somebody else. It could save your life or the lives of people you love. We're still losing hundreds of Americans under 65 years of age every week, and many more are getting seriously ill from long stretches of the time. Look, even if your chance of getting seriously ill is low, why take the risk when you have a safe, free, and convenient way to prevent it?
He knows it's a hard sell, and let's be honest, he's not much of a pitch man. Republicans aren't going to listen to a word of it, and do you think there are many young Americans who are really going to act on this?
Yes, you can text your zip code right now to 438829 and get texts back within minutes to places nearest to you to get a vaccination that are available immediately.
Step right up. We're not just giving out one jab. You'll get a second one for free as well. Quick, Maud, pass the phone before they run out.
D.C. is getting creative to get vaccine shots into people's arms. They're serving up a shot of Johnson & Johnson with a cold beer on the side.
Yeah, and no appointment necessary for it.
News for so painful. That was local NBC last night here in Washington, where the mayor turned the grounds of the Kennedy Center on a beautiful spring evening into a venue where you could get your shot and a free beer chaser as well. They even threw in a $50 credit so you could use Uber to get there and then take you home. The breathless reporting continued at the scene.
We've got the people showing up. They're getting their shot. They're getting their forms done. They wait their 15 minutes, and then most of them are having a beer. And it's been wild to see people from all parts of the city, from all industries, making their way over here.
For that, you are going to have to take the word of reporter Tommy McFly. The picture behind him told a very different story. The place was deserted. Maybe 25 people there. The cameraman couldn't have got a crowd shot even if he wanted one. The narrative here is becoming complicated for those people eager to see the Biden White House slay the COVID dragon. I got a round-robin email last week from the American Council on Science and Health. It's a pro-science advocacy group, and it was urging reporters not even to cover the story of vaccine skepticism, arguing that the coverage itself only creates more of it. And we've seen this week an extraordinary shift in the debate over mask wearing. For months, it's been grassroots Republicans who have led the mask-burning movement. Oh, how the tables have turned.
We've all been obsessed with COVID. It's been horrible. It's dominated our lives. So, of course, it's difficult for us to return to normal.
That is New York Times writer David Leonhardt, a man with no discernible medical training, but a man who on CNN last week was eagerly dispensing medical advice to Americans.
It's also really important for us to start returning to normal. And normal doesn't mean waiting until there is no COVID risk. It means thinking about the fact that if you're vaccinated or you're out doors, COVID presents the sort of risks that we accept all the time in life. It's sort of struck by lightning or attacked by shark level risk. It's not the kind of thing that should reorder our lives.
Now, as my father would say, hold your horses. Yesterday, 818 people died in the United States of COVID-19. 818. Lightning kills an average of 49 people here every year. Sharks just 3. So I'm not sure how useful those comparisons really are. COVID-19 is still responsible for around 1 in 10 deaths every day. We are not, sadly, in the situation that the UK has attained. Yes, the numbers are dwindling. Yes, if you're fully vaccinated, you can feel a touch more relaxed about the threat. Although Dr. Anthony Fauci, a man with medical training, suggested yesterday only a touch unless and until more Americans get the jab.
How extensive is the ability of this virus, if you don't really suppress it completely, to develop new variants? And every single week, Sanjay, that goes by, we get hit with another challenge. You know, it's like, it's a wily opponent.
Dr. Fauci, who this week found himself on the receiving end of fury from some of the president's most fervent supporters for insisting recently that he doesn't feel comfortable eating indoors at a restaurant yet and has no intention of flying anytime soon. They loved him when he was the bane of Donald Trump's life. Now they're not so sure of him as he challenges some of the Democrats' new talking points on the pandemic. It's a topsy-turvy world out there, so it's good to find a bit of constancy. And what is more constant in America than the interventions of Donald Trump?
This was a rigged election. Everybody knows it. Let's see what they find. I wouldn't be surprised if they found thousands and thousands and thousands of votes. So we're going to watch that very closely.
Now, I know what you're thinking. You think that's old audio I've pulled from last year, but it's not. He's still on the same kick, speaking to revelers there at his Mar-a-Lago retreat a few days ago, insisting that ludicrous efforts in Arizona that are still taking place to prove the election was stolen from him are about to bear fruit. This week, we have once again witnessed the power the former president wields in the Republican Party. His acolytes fanned out onto talk radio to echo and endorse his comments. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, a Republican from upstate New York.
I fully support the audit in Arizona. We want transparency and answers for the American people. What are the Democrats so afraid of? The voters in Arizona and the state Senate in Arizona pursued this audit. I fully support it. Transparency is a good thing. We need to fix these election security issues going into the future.
Now, just to take you down the blind alley that is the Arizona audit, here's the very excellent Jake Tapper from CNN.
There are no election security issues in Arizona. Do you know how crazy this audit is in Arizona? This is, you have to understand this. They're actually examining the ballots with UV light to see if there are any traces of bamboo in the paper, because one of the conspiracy theories holds that fake ballots were shipped in from Asia.
No, it's true. Leading the effort, a conspiracy theorist by the name of John Brakey, who described the scene in Phoenix to local TV station KPHO.
What they're doing is to find out if there's bamboo in the paper. That camera right there, that they take a picture of the ballot, they can really look at depth and find out, is it a hand-marked paper ballot? Because it's a 5K camera. You can see the folds in the ballot, because 92% of all the ballots here should have been folded because they came in through an envelope, okay? And so they're doing all sorts of testing to prove if it was or wasn't, and that's very important, because the only way you can persuade people on changing is having facts.
Have I got bad news for him? It's tempting as ever to laugh all this off, but you shouldn't, because these people are constraining the Republican Party and keeping it pinned down in Donald Trump's corner. This week, he decided to mete out revenge against one of his new top targets, Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming. The daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, she is about to be defenestrated from the Republican leadership in the House of Representatives. Donald Trump has opened the window, and he's dangling her out of it for daring to vote last year in favor of his impeachment. Dissident Republicans who support her argue she's being targeted simply for adhering to the facts.
Nothing is going to stop Liz Cheney from telling the truth.
But we will not forget what happened on January 6th.
The truth about the election results.
The election wasn't stolen.
The truth about the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
President Trump claimed for months that the election was stolen and then apparently set about to do everything he could to steal it himself.
But snowflake Republicans in Congress can't handle the truth.
That ad put together by the Republican Accountability Project, there is unlikely to be an Austin Powers-style rescue of Congresswoman Cheney from the hands of Dr. Evil played by Donald Trump. And the sycophants are lining up to justify his actions. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina last night on Fox News.
Can we move forward without President Trump? The answer is no. I've always liked Liz Cheney, but she's made a determination that the Republican Party can't grow with President Trump. I've determined we can't grow without him.
What he said there is flatly untrue. Liz Cheney isn't opposed to Donald Trump because they have a different view of the Republican Party's recruitment strategy. She believes in truth. He doesn't. So she has to go.
Just like Liz Cheney, I believe in telling the truth.
Jeff Duncan, the lieutenant governor of Georgia, one Republican who fears the party is on a very dark road.
I think real leadership is about telling the truth. And, any Republican talking out of the front of their lips or the sides of their lips about the election fraud issues that have been debunked is not leadership. It only shows that you're able to take commands from Donald Trump. And
why does all this matter? Because this was the week when, for President Biden, political chickens came home to roost. On the campaign trail, he claimed to have the unique ability, based on his extensive Senate career, to work with the Republicans on Capitol Hill. Just give them time, let them get over Donald Trump, and normal politics would soon return. That is not happening. And in a 50-50 Senate, where the president needs Republican support, this week he conceded he doesn't understand them at all.
It seems as though the Republican Party is trying to identify what it stands for. And they're in the midst of a significant sort of mini revolution going on in the Republican Party. We badly need a Republican Party. We need a two-party system. It's not healthy to have a one-party system. And I think the Republicans are further away from trying to figure out who they are and what they stand for than I thought they would be at this point.
Even there, he doesn't quite seem to get it. The Republican Party isn't undecided about its direction. It's made its choice. It's lining up four square behind Donald Trump and his political clones. That's a big problem for the White House. It means cooperation with the Republicans is dead in the water. But it's also a big problem for the other test President Biden has set for America. He wants the country to prove liberal democracy is sufficiently strong to overcome the challenge posed by autocrats in China and Russia. As he said last week, the country needs to win the competition for the 21st century. In Beijing and Moscow, watching this particular American week, they are unlikely, Eddie, to be losing much sleep.